So, Kristen.
Yes, Rafer.
I don't want to be too serious too fast, but this is our third movie date.
Oh my God.
How do you feel things are going?
Well, you know, third date, you know what that means, right?
I do know what that means. It means I don't know, what does that mean?
I think it's time we start having some serious talk about the Oscars.
I think so too. Let's talk about that. And I, you know, while I've loved having these dates with you, I think we're about to get into another argument.
I'm pretty sure we are. And one of the first things that has to be brought up is your insistence over the last several months, over our last couple dates, about how important Avatar is.
Yes.
And the fact that it was destined to win Best Picture.
Yes, I thought it was.
And let's talk about that. What happened?
You know, I don't know, although The Hurt Locker has been the huge critical winner. It is, I mean, it's in terms of every little regional critics group, you know, industry awards, you know, film festival type things. It has just swept absolutely everything. And so there was clearly this groundswell. And I was also surprised that it even took a couple of the technical awards away from Avatar. It took sound mixing and sound editing away from Avatar, which I just assumed Avatar would get absolutely every single technical award, hands down. But Hurt Locker even got a couple of those.
Yeah, I was thrilled about that. And you know what I thought was fabulous? That I don't know who comes up with the seating charts for the Oscars, who sits in the audience, but Kathryn Bigelow was sitting in front, directly
right
in front. Yeah, in front of Cameron. And I mean, I just thought it was amazing. I almost felt like that was some sort of indicator that maybe the Academy knew that she was going to have to get up more than he was.
That's very possible. That's very possible. I will say, at the risk of incurring your wrath, that I still think that Avatar was the best picture. And the reason, the only reason that I don't think The Hurt Locker was Best Picture was because of the screenplay. I thought it was a very weak screenplay, and it won for Best Original Screenplay.
Yeah, it did.
It did. It did, which I was very surprised about because I sort of thought that was going to go to Inglourious Basterds.
Speaking of screenplays, were you surprised that Precious won for Adapted?
I was, because I also thought that Up in the Air, which seemed... In the very, very, very initial stages of the whole campaign run, Up in the Air seemed to be the big favorite, right? And this was this was before Avatar. But even when Avatar was first kind of coming out, Up in the Air seemed like the big favorite. It really seemed like Clooney. It really seemed like it was going to be Best Picture. It seemed like it would be at least Best Adapted Screenplay.
Absolutely, and it got all those acting nominations in it.
Yeah, right, a ton of acting nominations. And I knew it wasn't going to get any of the acting awards, but its only hope was to get that Best Adapted Screenplay award. That was, I thought, it's really its only hope for the Oscar, and Precious took it away.
Well, I have to say, speaking of Precious, I really liked Monique's acceptance speech.
Yes, very direct. And did you see Samuel L. Jackson's facial expression
afterwards? No, I didn't. What was it?
There was a quick two-second cut to Samuel L. Jackson, who made this kind of googly-eyed look on his face like, man, she really gave it to him, you know, because she really used that speech to, you know, fire back at all those critics who said that she hadn't been campaigning hard enough. And, you know,
it's about the performance, not the politics.
Right.
That's what she said.
That's right. Exactly. Exactly. And and good for her. I mean, she, you know, they show those clips of each little performance. Mm-hmm. And, you know, so there's all these different performances from all these different people. And, you know, when Monique's clip comes on, you're just like, how can you not give that woman that Oscar? She has got to get that Oscar. She was so good in it.
Now, I've said it before that I thought that throughout most of the movie, I felt that she was a little bit out of control. She was just like, I'm a crazy, abusive lady. I'm crazy and I'm abusive.
You thought it was too much?
Oftentimes, but at the very end, you're right. At the very end, there's something very intricate about that performance at the end, that there's so much more to her character than the crazy, yelling, abusive lady.
That final scene with her and Mariah Carey and Precious all sitting together in the office, you finally hear Monique's character's story, you know, why she's done what she's done and why she's become who she's become. It's a pretty amazing scene. It's like, it's really a... That was an Oscar-winning scene right there. I think that did it.
It was great. And, you know, another thing that the Oscars did last night as far as choosing clips and so on to show with movies, the beautiful montage life story in Up, which you said
Yes.
Was you said that that movie doesn't deserve an Oscar, but just that one little 5 or 7 minute life story does.
Yes.
And
yes.
It still took the best picture animated feature.
Best animated feature.
Yeah, it
yes.
still took the best yeah. animated feature Oscar. And
sure. Yeah, it got that, and it got best original score, which, and I remember the score being really beautiful.
The score was wonderful because it was a little bit whimsical.
Yes.
And still very heartbreaking at the same
yes.
time.
Yes.
I loved it. I loved that score. I
that
was beautiful.
Yeah. No, it was a great score, and I was glad. You know, I was sort of glad to see it win best animated feature. I still would have preferred Fantastic Mr. Fox, which I still thought was a better film.
I know you did. I know you thought so.
I know, and I know that you disagree. I know that you disagree.
Now, something else I just wanted to mention about not the awards and who won what, but just some of the major features of the Oscars
yes.
that they have every year. The dedication to the dead. You and I, outside of movie date, had a little chat about maybe there was going to be a lot of time given to people who'd passed last year. And they did. They gave a special dedication just to John Hughes.
Yes.
Which I thought was really fantastic.
Amazing.
I'm somebody who grew up loving John Hughes movies.
Of course, of course. And I just actually have reviewed a new book on John Hughes and the Brat Pack called You Couldn't Ignore Me If You Tried, which you may know is a line from The Breakfast Club.
I love that.
But having just read all that and sort of relived the whole John Hughes career arc and Molly Ringwald and Judd Nelson and Ally Sheedy, and to see them all again on the stage for what has to be the first time in 30 years or 25
yeah.
years or something was pretty incredible. I mean, when's the last time you saw Judd Nelson's face?
It's been incredible.
It's been a very long time.
And I have to say, some of them looked a little bit better than others. Okay, I'm getting
oh,
catty.
Yes,
that's not fair.
I have to say, Molly, I thought it's Molly Ringwald did not look like the Molly Ringwald you remember. I mean, how could she?
But, did she have Botox or something? Her face wasn't moving very well.
Yeah, I don't know.
There's something going on there. I'm not really sure.
Yeah. I have no idea. Mm-hmm. I have no idea.
But then they also had the traditional dedication to those who passed.
Yes.
James Taylor was playing guitar.
Yes.
And the thing I was really surprised by, somebody who they left out, I didn't see. Maybe I'm wrong. Farrah Fawcett.
You know what?
Did you see Farrah Fawcett in there at any point? They included Michael Jackson, who, of course, was an Oscar winner for Ben.
That's right. Good point. Wow, good call.
Yeah.
You know what? I don't remember seeing. I saw Patrick Swayze, and I saw Bud Schulberg, and I saw a lot of other.
Carl Malden
was the last one,
yeah.
Right? Pretty awful. If she, I don't remember.
And how'd the host do, in your opinion?
You know, in my opinion, I thought it was pretty weak. I thought it was pretty weak overall. And I think the fact that they had Neil Patrick Harris come in as sort of a surprise opener to me said that. They would have preferred to have Neil Patrick Harris as their guest. I thought Steve Martin and Alec Baldwin, I just didn't think they could rise above the typical stiff Oscar joke patter that is, you know, the curse of every Oscar broadcast. I didn't think they were able to rise above it, you know.
Yeah, I mean, there is this, I think a lot of why people love the idea of them hosting is just, it's Steve Martin and it's Alec Baldwin.
Of course.
Whenever
Big
Steve
names.
Martin and Alec Baldwin are together, you think about fun, magical things, but you're forced into this format where you have to be up there for 2 minutes, then announce the next presenter. You have to be up there for 2 more minutes, then you have to announce this thing or that thing. And so
right.
It's really not the same as a Saturday Night Live format or anything else like that.
No, and you get a lot of these very creaky one-liners, and I think neither they nor whoever is writing that dialogue at the Oscars, it always seems like no one is ever quite willing to cross the line the way that, say, Ricky Gervais did at the Golden Globes, right? And take some sort of pot shots at, you know, Mel Gibson's DUI. You're not going to hear that at the Oscars. Everyone plays it safe, you know, and so the jokes have to be kind of obvious. You know, you're going to make a Botox joke about the whole crowd. You're going to make a joke about how everyone in the entertainment industry is Jewish. You're going to make these sort of jokes that you hear kind of year after year, which are kind of funny, kind of not.
Every year you have to talk about how Helen Mirren is hot, too.
You're right.
That's
right.
Become a staple somehow in the last 2 or 3 years, where every year they have to make a comment about. And she is. She looks great.
She looks wonderful. Yeah, but it's always a thing, right? As an actress gets older, you have to always make sure to tell her that she still looks ravishing and beautiful and gorgeous, right? That's always the protocol.
Absolutely. So any final notes as far as what stood out to you, what you loved? Any awards that you felt were totally undeserved?
I do want to close perhaps by saying that it was, although I don't think a lot of people seem to notice it that much, Kathryn Bigelow was the first woman to become a Best Directing Oscar winner in 82 years. She's the first one ever.
And that's, I mean, mind-blowing.
That's to me, was a really historic thing that I feel like wasn't quite played up enough in the media. And I think she's such a fantastic director. You know, she really deserved it. So I was glad to see that.
I think so, too. I'm thrilled for her.
Exactly.
So, all right. Well, that's great. Thank you so much, Rafer.
Thanks. This has been fun.
All right. I'm looking forward to our fourth date.
Me too.
See what happens there.
We'll see.